This episode is brought to you by Tushy, Woo, First Republic Bank, and Storyworth. Thank you for making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through customs?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Folks, we only have one more episode left this season.
Oh.
And then we go on hiatus for 6 weeks.
That makes me sad.
No.
That makes me sad. I know. You're so excited and I'm sad because, listen, we both love doing this very much. But Robin always wants a break.
I'm just kidding. I'm working on a book proposal and I can't seem to get it done. So I need some time.
She needs the extra time. And I just want the extra time to watch this new show I just learned about. That's what I want time for.
What show, Jamie?
So my good friend, Effie, she's my mom friend. She's my gym buddy now. We call ourselves the hashtag old lady crew at the gym. We're a lot of fun at the gym. She just told me, and she's not even gay. She told me about this show that is like Housewives, but it's all lesbian women. Nobody knows. I know. It's called, get this, it's called Tampa Bay. B-A-E.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh,
that's my bay. Tampa Bay.
I got it.
Listen, we all know I like myself some reality TV. Yeah. I like to zone out, not care about what I'm watching. And this sounds so fun. I can't wait to watch it.
This is not my jam, Jamie. This is not my jam. But I support your right to watch it, and I am happy it exists, but I don't ever want to watch it.
I will give you the rundown, the run by run.
You know, Jimmy, you don't have to do that. That's okay.
But I was like, she just told me about it this morning at the gym, and I was like, oh my God, I hope I get a break in my day from work that I can just sit down and watch it. Maybe I can watch it while I eat lunch. I don't know, because I'm working from home, so why not?
Lord,
I can't wait,
Jamie,
to watch this silly show. Anyway, all right.
Jamie, okay. You know what I can't wait to do?
What's
I can't
that?
Wait for Christmas to be over because the holiday season is pushing fast earlier and earlier, and it's turning me into like Scrooge. Kids wanted to put the tree up in like mid-November, and I was like, no!
Meanwhile, we got our tree before December. The holiday music was playing like 2 weeks into November in my house.
I can't do it.
I will play Mariah Carey Christmas album on repeat for
ours
weeks.
Is the Whitney Houston Christmas album. That's ours. Oh, that one is so good.
I like a good mix. I just tell Alexa to play Christmas music. That's what I do.
I do want to say there is one holiday season thing that I am on board with, and that's holiday shopping and getting a great gift for your parents and loved ones, Jamie. About understanding your path to parenthood. And that's our book, Jamie.
That's it. That's one
it's
I could get
It's a great
behind.
Holiday gift. I'm behind that.
Listen, I'm not even lying here when I say that I think that is one of the best holiday gifts you can give, especially to your parents who might not understand how you do this. Like you just said that, but I'm reiterating what you're saying.
You're saying it again for emphasis.
I am. Because I really do think, like, there should be, like, 10 books like this that you could just dole out. But
no, just ours,
unfortunately,
Jamie.
There's only one, and it's ours.
Don't make any competition.
I'm just kidding.
All right, listen.
If
These Ovaries Could Talk, the things we've learned about making an LGBTQ family, it's available at Amazon, all major retailers. You can check IndieBound if you want to get it locally. And if you are an audiobook person like myself, you can get that also on Audible or iTunes.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jamie, and if you're in the giving mood while you're doing it, Give us a rating and a review on Goodreads and Amazon. Come on.
It is the season of giving, and we like a good review. Not going to lie. A good one, not a bad one. Don't talk mean about us.
Don't give us a bad one. If you feel bad about the book, then just put it down and go do something else.
Moving on. Listen, do you want to help us get this content out to more and more folks just like you? Mm-hmm. If you do, you can help us out by joining our Patreon community, and that's going to help us get this content out. Am I right, Robin?
You're going to do a good thing. You're going to get bonus content, and at the gestational carrier level, if we could talk you into that, you're going to get videos and interviews of most episodes, and they're dropped a day early without ads.
That's that bonus. Yeah, I know. So you're going to want to go head to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join. So go ahead and do that if you're in the mood.
Okay, Helen. All right, we're moving to the interview.
Helen. She just won't stop that, Helen.
Oh my God, we just got an email that somebody named their their auto driving system?
GPS system in their car.
Not GPS, it was the thing that tells you if you're about to crash or like a car's too close.
Yeah, whatever
they
that
named
is.
It Helen.
because she's really best. Apparently she's really testy.
Ornery.
and doesn't do what they want.
Job. They need her, Helen. I love that. Anywho, all right. Emily and Sarah.
They are listeners.
Woo!
This story has so much. They're flying fresh sperm around the Arctic. We learned new things in this. We continue to learn new things.
I know. It's so
about
complex.
This process. I know. You'd think we heard it all.
There's quadruplets.
It's a lot. Oh, my
the whole
God.
Family's getting involved. Like, oh, it's just
I want to be in their family. I love
Helen,
them.
Roll the tape.
Queer Family Podcast.
If you've ever felt like your family didn't fit the traditional mold, this show is for you. I'm Jamie, host of the Queer Family Podcast. And every week we highlight LGBTQIA+ families and the beautiful, unique ways we build and show up for our families in a world that wasn't designed for us. We celebrate, highlight, uplift, and normalize queer families because our stories deserve center stage. New episodes every Monday. Listen wherever you get your pods.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Emily and Sarah.
Hi,
how
guys.
Are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Yeah. Raining here, but you know.
I'm sorry for the rain.
It's okay. I had a lot of appointments this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because?
Because I'm 36 weeks pregnant.
Ooh, congratulations. You know what? I'm looking at you through the Zoom. I can't even tell you're pregnant.
I know.
I have a very small bump situation, mm-hmm. which is
well,
fine
that's
with
nice.
Me.
Nice. What's so funny is like, we booked you 4 weeks from having a baby. I mean, that's like ridiculous and amazing.
Well,
all at
I
the
think
same time.
We booked ourselves because it was the like the first date that worked for yeah. Sarah's schedule because she's very busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought, I hope we don't have a baby before we do.
We're really glad you guys can make it work. We're really glad
to
have
really
you with
us.
Here.
Yeah, we are.
So where are you zooming in from? Tell everybody at home.
We are zooming in from Atlantic Canada.
Yep.
So okay. The east coast of Canada.
Let's get into this elevator pitch. We need to know who you are. We sure. need to let our listeners know who you are. And you know, you have 30 seconds to do it, but we won't cut you off because we love you and we think you're fabulous.
All right.
But you have 30 seconds.
You want me to do it?
And Rob's going to put the beautiful timer up
Boy.
Just for you.
On your mark, get set, go.
All right. We are Emily and Sarah. We had planned to get married in the fall of 2020 and then to start trying to have a baby. And then COVID happened. So we postponed our wedding, moved to the Arctic, and decided, let's try to have a baby anyway, which we finally succeeded in. Well, we haven't had the baby yet, but we finally succeeded in making the baby by shipping fresh sperm from Sarah's brother, who is one of her quadruplet siblings.
Whoa. Okay, that's a lot.
34 seconds, and then you dropped some bombs right there in the
sure
end.
Did.
You
sure
a little
did.
Bit, like,
that always catches people's attention.
One of four babies born at the same time, fresh sperm shipped to the Arctic. You dropped some bombs in there.
That might be a record for all lesbians for how far sperm has been shipped. I don't know.
It
I
might
know.
Be.
Anybody else
I don't know.
Ship it further?
I don't know. From Montreal, know. We ship from Ottawa to Iqaluit, which is... I don't know, like 2,200 kilometers or something. I don't know what that is in miles.
And we also shipped.
Neither do we.
Like the furthest is probably. Montreal to St. John's, Newfoundland.
Yeah.
It's got to be the most remote destination ship too. I feel like we need to be calling Guinness.
Oh, there were,
like,
there were a lot of
something.
Confused like air cargo people that we talked to on the phone.
Oh my God, conversations. I wish you had video of those conversations.
Oh, me
that
too.
Would be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back a little bit before
Rewind.
We get into the shipping.
Yeah.
Quadruplets, brother donating sperm.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
did you get to the brother doing it? All that.
Yeah. Well,
just a conversation.
Yeah, we
day.
Just were like talking about it. I think your sister initially was like teasing us and being like, you know, you should just get Justin to donate sperm. You know.
And I was really
that
resistant
would be perfect.
To it.
And we were kind of like, that might be weird. I don't know. Like. But like
I then Alex donated sperm.
Yeah, to a friend of ours.
Who's Alex? Your other brother?
My other brother. I have a sister and two brothers.
So you have two brothers who've just donated sperm to help families make babies.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's also that might be a Guinness. I don't know. I feel like we need to call the Guinness Book of World Records a
we're
lot.
We're kind
for
of
you
like
two.
A giant queer family.
Yeah, and really. Like my parents are grandparents to this you know, my other brother's donated sperm baby and he's over here all the time. And
he's really cute.
Yeah. And he's like an uncle, I guess, to this baby.
So we saw that that could work.
Yeah. So we saw like, yeah, it's actually works pretty well when you do it like that.
So your other brother donated to a lesbian couple?
No, a single mom.
A single mom.
Yeah.
And your brother is in their life.
As are we. All.
And the grandparents and your parents, everybody's in the life. It's big. Yeah. It's a big, 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 happy family.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you saw that that could work.
Yeah.
And then you convinced Emily.
I didn't need much convincing.
No. Yeah. I think just once we saw that that worked, we were pretty on board. Plus, like the pandemic happened. And so access to any kind of fertility services was super limited.
And we were in the north, right, which is already like super isolated. We were living in a remote, isolated community with one hospital.
Why were you there? Why
were you there? We have to find out, why were you in the Arctic?
And I also need you to answer if the quadruplets were natural, because I'd be thinking about that in terms of a choice of sperm, because you could have 8 million babies also.
Right. So there is a genetic component, but that's only hereditary through like ovaries, through your ability to secrete or ovulate.
Sarah's a doctor.
I'm a doctor.
She's gonna try to do this in a very
post-call.
I love this. I love that there's a doctor's an actual expert here.
So it only happens on the female side.
It only happens on the female side. So like my brother would not contribute to creating any kind of multiples.
I had no idea, because our donor was a twin and we were afraid, but I totally forgot about that until recently. But we were afraid before, like, oh my God, no, he was a twin and there was no chance. How funny is that?
But your kids could have a risk of having.
So my daughter.
Your daughter, if you have a daughter, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Well, she says she doesn't want babies, never, ever, ever, ever in her whole entire life. So
that. Well, they all say that because they've heard how sex happens and that they'll change their tune in college when they're drunk. Emily, your stomach is very thankful that there's no chance you're going to have four babies, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
All of your internal organs.
There is one baby.
Not being squished.
There's definitely only one baby. I've had many scans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fear.
Hey, it's Hillary Frank from The Longest Shortest Time, an award-winning podcast about parenthood and reproductive health. We talk about things like sex ed, birth control, pregnancy, bodily autonomy, and of course, kids of all ages. But you don't have to be a parent to listen. If you like surprising, funny, poignant stories about human relationships and, you know, periods, The Longest Shortest Time is for you. Find us in any podcast app or at longestshortesttime.com.
Okay, Robin, it is time for one of my favorite ads of all time.
I know where you're going.
Tushy. Are you buying for a lot of family members this holiday season?
Uh-huh.
Because Hello Tushy bidets are a great gift for your eco-conscious cousin, your neat freak sister, your farty dad, and anyone who poops. We all deserve a better clean while contributing to a healthier planet. Don't we, Robin? Don't we?
Listen. I don't know anyone who doesn't love their Tushy bidet once they bring it home.
It really
makes the restroom the best room. That's right. Why I said it. Let's tell them why it's so great, Jamie. Come on.
Okay. Well, the Hello Tushy bidet washes your bum with fresh water for a way better clean than toilet paper.
Come on. And you simply spray and pat dry.
It's so easy. It attaches to your existing toilet and installs in less than 8 minutes.
No electrician or plumber needed. I did it myself.
I know you did. And it cuts down your TP use by 80%, saving money and paper waste.
I mean, who doesn't want to save the planet for our children, Jamie?
Come on, guys. What are you waiting for? Give the gift of a clean bum to yourself or your loved ones this holiday season and get 10% off plus free shipping right now at hellotushy.com/ovaries. And when you get it, tag us and Hello Tushy on social media so we can celebrate your clean bum.
Yes, yes, we need more bum posts. That's hellotushy.com/ovaries, and you're going to get 10% off and free shipping.
But maybe don't send us a picture of your bum, maybe. I don't
Please
know.
Don't.
You can.
I mean, all right. That's fine.
Yeah, so how'd you get to the Arctic? We didn't even talk about your beginnings.
Why are we in the Arctic? What's
We have so much
to talk about.
Yeah, so I guess from the beginning, like we grew up in the same pretty small town. So we kind of knew of each other growing up. Of course, I knew who Sarah was because she's kind of famous, you know?
Right, because she's quadruplet.
Yeah. And we sort of ran in similar circles, but Sarah's a few years older than me, so we didn't really, like, connect until after university. Mm-hmm. We have a pair of friends who are sisters, and Sarah's friends with, I mean, we're all friends with everybody, but she's close with the older sister and I was close with the younger sister, and they had this theater company that they ran together, and we were both volunteering one summer building set together, and that's how we
happened. That's how it always happened.
So my parents moved to Iqaluit, which is the capital of Nunavut, which is the largest territory or province in Canada, but you've probably never heard of it because it's only got like 37,000 people who live there or something. Very remote communities. You cannot drive there. You have to fly. It's all like, you know, like gravel runways to get to communities.
It's just like The Proposal. I love that
that's
movie.
That's exactly what Sandy I was just thinking of.
You got to fly in planes, trains, automobiles.
Yeah.
That was Alaska, but still.
Yeah. So my parents moved there a few years ago. Sarah had the option of doing part of her residency training there. And I said, no, I don't want to go there. But then I went to visit my parents when they were living there. And I discovered that it's a very nice place. And so then I was having a bit of trouble finding work where we were living in St. John's. And so there was an option for me to go up for some time and do some work up there. And then Sarah switched her residency around so that she could come and join me. So that's how we ended up in the North.
So you knew really early on, like you were going to get married and have a baby. Like you were just like, this is our path. We're doing this.
Yeah.
We're doing all these things.
I think so. Like we talked about that very early on about in terms of like, if we want kids or.
But we did long distance for 4 years before because Sarah had med school and I had grad school and both moving around to a lot of different places, doing different things. And I would say, like, if you want to know if your relationship's going to work out, try that.
Definitely.
I did long distance too, and that's how I knew that I needed to be with her.
It makes you like such a good communicator, and
definitely.
So
you're like, we're having a baby, we're doing this thing, and all of a sudden the idea of her brother comes up, and you're like, okay,
yeah. I mean, I remember having a conversation with Justin and another queer couple friends about how we would make babies, and Justin was just sort of like, well, I'm available. We were like, noted. And then that was like because Justin's also gay. I think he'd be fine with us on the internet.
Poor Justin. He's all his business is out here. He's like, what?
He's a very open guy.
So of the four of you, two of you are gay?
Three.
Or I don't even know. Do you identify as gay? Oh, three. Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
they're like the full spectrum, really.
Yeah, I know.
Because you got Justin's gay.
Yeah.
You're like
somewhere
on the spectrum. Rena's somewhere on the spectrum. And Alex is
Didn't ask either of you. I'm sorry. Either of you how you identify or your pronouns or any of that. Do you want to share that?
Oh, yeah, sure. We're both
cis women.
You, she, her.
Yeah.
And we identify as
queer.
Queer. Yeah.
Queer.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know. So we don't say the wrong thing.
Well,
usually do.
We're not offended by other terms.
We say wrong things all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so how much time between when Justin says, oh, I'm available, to when you're like, let's do this?
It must have been like 2.5 years.
Yeah,
because it was Christmas time when our pals were here.
And it was earlier than that, even when Sarah, like when your sister suggested that. Like that must have been like the first year we were dating. But at that point we were like, no, that's not
it's like
we don't
want like Uncle Daddy Justin, like that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, probably. And then
we changed our minds.
Right? We, you know, you just kind of have to get used to ideas sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, how did you guys decide who was going to carry? Was that
that ever, was never even really a conversation?
No, because I don't really want to be pregnant.
She's seen them come out too many times, you know.
What kind of a doctor are you?
A family doctor, but I do like I've done in my residency and my medical training, I did obstetrics
all the
and
stuff.
You do kind of everything.
And I've always wanted to.
Yeah.
So that was an easy decision.
Yeah.
Boom, bada boom, bada bing. That's how we're gonna do it. And then you came around. How did you come around to the idea of the bro?
The bro.
I don't
know.
I mean, I think part of it was definitely like seeing my other brother donate sperm successfully and like have that, you know, work out in terms of like family dynamics. Cause I think that was our biggest concern, was just like, will this be weird? Will this like mess up our relationships? And I think also just like, you know, looking into sperm donors and
that was weird.
It was hard. And it's hard in Canada. Like it's, It's not,
you can't just order sperm to your house. Like, you have to go through a clinic. There's no,
there's a lot more barriers in place, and a lot, it's more limited too, in terms of like the options. And so we just kind of were like, well, look, we have this great option where we have really great relationships with my siblings.
We know the family history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also they'll be like genetically related to me as well. Not that that matters at all, but you know, it's kind of cool.
But it's kind of cool. You know, it's nice. It's nice for that to happen. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And also cost, like,
yes, much less.
It
expensive.
Was, we saved so much money doing it the way we did it.
Yeah.
Right. And it worked, you know, so.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that? Because one of the reasons that you're on the podcast is because we did one episode where somebody shipped fresh sperm and they did not have luck doing it.
Yeah.
And you were like, you know, I'd love to talk about this. So can you share how you went about that?
Yeah. So I remember listening to that episode, like, in the middle of trying to figure out shipping, and I'm a little bit obsessive, and I had like scoured the internet. I had read everything that I could possibly find about test yolk buffer, which is the solution you send it in, and like success stories. And there's not a lot out there. Like, we were joining, I'm not even on Facebook, and I was like trying to get onto Facebook groups to try to like read other people's stories and like just find somebody who had some success, because I mean, if you can't see somebody else doing it, like, it's hard to imagine it working. And we were like, are we wasting our time? Are we wasting our money? Like, anyway, so.
And by the way, that's why we created this podcast.
Yeah.
So that people could hear these stories.
Yeah. So I listened to that episode, and it was like a little bit disheartening to me because they hadn't had any success. And it's like, oh no, what are we doing?
Because like, what does it cost to ship like one time? Like a couple $100?
We did it a few different ways. So when we were in the north, we sent to air cargo because you can't ship overnight to.
There's no like Purolator. Anything like that. To
Purolator is like FedEx.
We don't know what that is.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. FedEx.
Okay, I thought it was like a sperm percolator.
I know. I was like, is that a thing that keeps it cold? That's what is that?
We used air cargo. So we sent it on an airplane. Cargo.
How much is that? Is that expensive?
That was cheap.
Yeah, no, it depends on the time.
Compared to the other one.
Yeah, I think it was like
$50 or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was like $50.
Yeah.
But it was like more complicated because you had to go to like the air, like my brother had to go to the airport.
He had to go all the way to Ottawa.
And he had to go all the way to Ottawa because there weren't flights from Montreal.
Because of COVID.
Now is this like a commercial airplane or this is like a commercial. So you go to the commercial airport. Well, wait, what did your brother have to do? So you go to the commercial.
Yes, ma'am, delivering the sperm.
I'm sorry, I'm shipping my sperm. Yeah.
There was actually like a whole process that we had in place because normally there are flights. He lives in Montreal. Uh-huh. And normally there are flights from Montreal daily to Cali. But at the time, because of COVID, they were only going out of Ottawa, which is about 2 hours from Montreal. So he would go to Ottawa, get a hotel, do his thing, drop it off
And it was also first thing in the morning. You had to be there at 7 a.m. or something.
Yeah. So that's why I needed the hotel.
Jeez.
Yeah.
This is a good bro. I hope you got him a really nice
gift.
He's special.
He is.
And then he would send it on the airplane at like, he'd drop it off like 5:45 in the morning or something.
You like go and you check in at the airport. You go like, was it like Delta or was it like?
It was Canadian North.
So because
Canadian North.
Because there's like one airline and they do cargo on the same flights as the passenger, like commercial planes, because it's like one, and there's so much cargo going up there because a lot of it is air travel. There's no roads to get to the north.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
So you go to the cargo place. You don't go to like the commercial, like the
you don't
place.
Go to the airport.
You don't go check in for the flight.
Yeah.
I love that Jamie's biggest concern is where is he checking in?
I would be so stressed out. So I'm just wondering, you know, what are the logistics?
I feel like Justin is pretty like nonchalant about these things too. Like he would have just like gone up and been like, I got some sperm to ship and you know, not cared what people thought about it. So, I mean, we did have to do a lot of like calling
and
the airline.
Did a lot of calling and like being like, oh, so this is the situation. How do I do this?
At one point, my mom called the airline.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's like a family affair.
Oh, you have
everybody's
no idea.
Getting involved.
Literally everybody is involved in some way.
I feel like I had very little to do with making this baby, but my siblings were like,
Sarah just paid for it.
That was family role.
Listen, that's an important role.
We didn't ask this. Both of your families obviously were on board. Were they on board from the start, from the get-go?
Definitely.
Wow. Okay, so you went to the cargo area. He dropped it off. They put it on the plane.
Yeah.
Then you had to go to the airport to pick it up.
Yeah.
And it's in, like, for lack of a better word, it's in, like, an incubator thingy. It's in
a cardboard box
with styrofoam,
and an ice pack.
Oh, that's it.
And they did keep it in the refrigerator, I think.
Yeah.
That first time.
And so the first time it was actually really good. We got it within like 10 hours or something of it being sent.
Can you believe sperm can last this? Can you believe?
Last days.
Yeah, it can last up to 96 hours in this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
I know.
And so it didn't work the first time, but you kept going.
Right. So the first time we think we had a chemical pregnancy because I had like a 40-day cycle or something.
Yeah, and a positive test.
And like a questionably positive test followed by some negative tests, which are very expensive in the North.
Yeah. Pregnancy tests. Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Everything's expensive.
Because everything's flying and
right. And you're like, we're going to keep doing it this way. Did you have an idea of like, we're going to try this a few times, a handful of times?
Yeah.
Or because you're doing a little bit of science here.
We were doing a lot of science. We initially kind of just were like, let's just try it a couple times and see what happens. Because we knew that there was an end date to our time in the North, and we thought we would be able to get into the fertility clinics right away when we came south again. So we were like, let's just try it. Like, I think part of it was that my sister was pregnant and my best friend was pregnant at the same time at that time. So yeah, we didn't really have like a number of times.
No.
In our mind, I think we were just going to try a couple times and then
see
what happened, which is what we did. So we tried that time, chemical pregnancy. The second time, Air Cargo held our sperm for a week.
Just because of like staffing issues, and they just, there was a backlog on.
How did those phone calls go?
Give me my sperm!
Yeah.
Sperm, don't you understand that sperm? I need it.
Unfortunately, it went, hi, I have a package on the plane that just landed. And they were like, okay, don't call us, we'll call you. Like, they were,
But it's sperm. Of COVID. But it's sperm and it's dying.
It died and
literally died.
My ovulation passed and we didn't get to use it. And that's fine.
Yeah.
We did those two when we were north and then we moved back south.
And we stopped for a bit too at that point.
And
it was pretty stressful, especially for Emily, because she was tracking her cycle and we didn't know if like the timing, because you know, there were certain days that you could ship on and certain days you couldn't because it's, there's not like an unlimited flight schedule. Mm-hmm. So it would have to like work out and like,
like it only went Monday, Wednesday, Thursday or something.
So the weekend you couldn't ship.
That's so stressful.
And during this time, you're tracking, you're doing all the stuff. Were you taking supplements or doing anything else to just make sure that you had the best possible chances?
Yeah, I mean, I was taking folic acid, I think.
Yeah.
And, like doing like fertility yoga or whatever, but I don't know. We're pretty pragmatic people. Like I wasn't trying any of the raspberry leaf teas or any of that extra stuff.
You're not hippy dippy.
No.
Well, also you hadn't, you still thought it was probably going to work out.
Yeah. Like, and the first one we tried two did. Times. Well,
yeah.
We had only at that point tried one time really. And it had
the second time.
It had arguably worked. It just didn't stick. Right. So we were like, okay, well let's keep.
And you seemed to be ovulating. Like the tracking was like showing.
Was yeah. Really, like, I was like taking my temperature every morning.
Yeah.
Peeing on those
basal body temperature.
Yeah, peeing on those sticks that tell you when your estrogen rises and then when your LH rises, and like making sure that it was all good. And I like went to the doctor and got blood work done and like made sure that everything was good to go.
Just kind of the standard fertility stuff.
Yeah.
And my sister and her partner were like,
they were like making models of my cycles.
Yeah, like putting things on Excel spreadsheets and like
Sarah's sister is very into fertility.
Yeah, so she's very into fertility awareness. And so she actually like did a lot of teaching
as a form of birth control,
but also getting pregnant, it works both ways. So she like was really involved as well in terms of like helping with the tracking. And
I don't know if I could have this many people involved in my private business like this. I love it though.
Yeah. I mean, our family is just like very close.
Yeah.
That's what you get with quadruplets.
Yeah.
I guess
you marry a quadruplet, you marry them all.
Yeah.
So
why did you move south?
We came back south, which is
Canada.
Southern Canada.
Southern Canada.
Which is still pretty north because Sarah's finishing her training in Newfoundland, which is another remote-ish province of Canada.
This one we've heard of.
Yeah.
Heard of that one. But so did you move south before the third try?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then the third try was at Christmas time,
mm-hmm.
which we were supposed to be able to do that one in person because we were supposed to be able to come home.
And everybody, my brother had come home.
Like, everybody was home. We were going to get married.
Both of our families, our media families, everyone was back.
And we were going to get married and then get pregnant. But then we weren't allowed to because provincial borders were closed.
Because of COVID.
Because of COVID. So we had this thing called the Atlantic bubble, which was like Newfoundland, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, all had like MPEI, all had a mutual travel zone. And it got closed, got canceled right before we came south. So we weren't allowed to see our family. We weren't allowed to travel and we couldn't do our in-person.
And it was also you can enter, but you just have to isolate when you do it,
mm-hmm.
which is what my siblings did when they came home.
You weren't allowed.
But I wasn't allowed because I had work, like I had residency. So I couldn't take like 4 weeks off to like isolate.
So we didn't get to come home, which was a big bummer because,
you know,
we hadn't seen anybody. I mean, it's the same story that everybody has from the pandemic, you know? So we did a shipment from New Brunswick to Newfoundland and that just didn't work.
And are you doing all the same protocols in terms of the shipments? Are you changing anything with that?
What changed is that like my whole family was involved in this because my brother was still isolating. So he couldn't take it to the airport. So my parents took it. My other brother
Alex
took it.
Brought it.
Yeah, my other brother took it because he lives in the same town as my parents. So he was not isolating. He could go.
So he had to like put it in a thing and drop it on the front porch. And then the parent had to pick it up and take it to the airport. And then it got shipped to you.
Pretty much. And we were isolating at the time. And we had a friend go pick it up at the airport.
And bring it to us.
Wow. I mean,
it's like 6 degrees of your brother's sperm.
Yes.
Jamie, if I have said it once, I'm going to say it again.
Okay.
This holiday season, I want to give a gift to my loved ones that makes them feel special and unique. And that's why I'm giving everyone I care about StoryWorth.
Wow. Okay, everyone. That's aggressive. That's everyone.
That's how much I love StoryWorth, Jamie.
Okay, I do too.
It's the online service that helps you and your loved ones preserve precious memories and stories for years to come. It's thoughtful and a meaningful gift that connects you to those who matter most.
Listen, I love StoryWorth too, and I love this for you and your loved ones. Here's how it works, you guys. Every week, StoryWorth emails your relative or friend a thought-provoking question of your choice from their pool of possible options. And so some of the questions are things, they're things you've never thought to ask, like what's the bravest thing you've ever done in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you could see into the future, what would you want to find out? I mean, I know what we'd want to find out.
I mean, what if we're famous?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, anyway. After 1 year, StoryWorth is going to compile all your loved ones' stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book, and then you'll be able to share, and you're going to revisit this for generations to come. I can't wait to get my sister's book. I mean, she's been working on it all year, and it's going to be right up there on my bookshelf next to our book. I mean, we're both writers now, she and I.
I love that. And reading the weekly stories helps connect you with loved ones no matter how near or far apart you are. We actually got an email from a listener telling us that they gifted it to their dad who was sick and it was his favorite thing to do every week. And now they have his stories in a book for all times. I'm not crying. You're crying. That's what's happening.
You're always crying.
I know.
We're all crying. All right. Listen, with StoryWorth, I'm giving those I love the most a thoughtful personal gift from the heart, preserving their memories and stories for years to come. Go to StoryWorth.com/OCT and save $10 off your first purchase.
That's StoryWorth.com/OCT, and you're going to save $10 on your first purchase.
I think it got too cold. I think there was too much ice in
it. Someone put snow in the box.
I think that was my parents.
To try to keep it. I think they thought it needed to be frozen.
They really were like, go, you know, they're really trying to help us. But I think in the end.
But there was like a bag of snow in the box. I think it froze the sample. You can't freeze a sample. It has to be like fridge temperature.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which we learned how to do on the fourth shipment and third try, which Sarah's brother Justin was instrumental in additionally, because what he did is he took.
And he was back in Montreal at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
In March. So we took some time off because I couldn't deal with it anymore.
It's stressful.
It's a lot.
We were trying like every like other month or every like 3 months or something. There's a lot of steps involved.
Yeah.
Also, every time we did it, we'd have to buy new vials of the egg yolk buffer. And the initial
test yolk buffer.
That's what it's called.
Test yolk. I wrote it down.
So we weren't smart and we didn't buy it. We didn't buy a bunch of it. We just bought it kind of as needed.
Is it expensive?
I think it was like, it's like $150 for two vials. And then it's cheaper, like if you get it in bulk, like if you get like 10 vials.
And you can get like two samples out of one vial if you.
Yeah, if you, really you can. You can get like two samples out of one vial.
So just to be clear, that's the stuff that your brother's putting his stuff into this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
To keep
and then,
it.
And then it feeds the sperm. It feeds them.
So it's kind
so
of
it
like
alive.
The equivalent of like
cervical mucus. Yeah.
Okay. So while it's in the thing, you don't have to like spin it or anything. You could just take it right out of the vial and put it in you.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
The information on how to do it is pretty readily available on the internet. There's a lot of how to do it, but there's not a lot of, hey, this worked for me.
Like, yeah, efficacy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
well, because where are you reporting it? You know what I mean? Like all the stats exist for us because we used a sperm bank and they're reporting out their data and they're for you, you got pregnant, you know it. Well, you didn't, unless you went on and did a blog piece about it, the rest of the world has no idea you were successful.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or unless you came on a podcast like ours and told the world that you were successful doing it this way.
There you go.
And then more and more people come to us and let us know that that worked for them as well. Mm-hmm. It's an invitation. That's an open invitation.
And I think the key to why we were successful is because Justin did these temperature control experiments with this fancy thermometer that he had that like tracked temperature over time. So he like figured out how to wrap it in the box to keep it at the specific temperature, like to keep it at 3 degrees.
Yeah. Cause I think part of the issue was sometimes it would get too cold.
Right.
Cause it was also winter for, you know, in Canada.
Right.
So like the,
right.
It's not just,
and those cargo holds are cool. Freezing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I don't think the trucks are, I don't think they're like keeping this stuff, you know, heated on the back of the truck when they're shipping it either.
Yeah.
So how would he wrap this up? And like, what would he put it in? So it's in a box, but what's it in the box?
So he put it in like a lunch bag, like, you know, those like
a Ziploc?
Like a cooler lunch bag that you bring lunch in as a kid or whatever, but like a soft one that you can like bundle up. So he put it in that. But before he put it in that, he would also wrap it in like various dishcloths. Like, I think he was just using stuff he had in his kitchen.
But it was in like a vial, right? Like he would put
It's in a vial.
Jamie. Yes. No,
I mean, I'm starting to think he's
right.
I was like,
he did it right into the towel.
And
he
was like, have Velcro on them. This is staying in there.
It was in a little, it was in a very tiny little vial.
Yes. Okay.
And then in the dishcloth. In the lunch bag, in the bottom of this cooler box, and then he put an ice pack on top because you don't want it to be touching the vial because then it'll freeze. But if you put it on top, then there's something about heat exchange that I don't fully understand.
You know, like foam pieces or sponge. There were sponges in between the ice pack and the thing.
Anyway, he figured it out, but I think that's why we were successful because we also on the last try bought a microscope so that we could look and make sure that they were still alive because we were like, are we wasting our time? Are we wasting our money?
So I would be so worried that just putting it even in the microscope, I'd kill it. Like,
well, they didn't use all of it.
You just need just a tiny little drop.
Even that,
there's so many of them in like the tiniest little teeny tiny drop.
So
could you see them?
Yeah.
Did you see the sperm swimming?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were like perfectly alive and fast.
I think I'd be so creeped out.
I was at work when this happened, so I didn't see them until like 24 hours after they had been shipped.
Yeah.
By the time I got home from work the next evening, and they were still moving.
They were still swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah was not home for any of the actual putting the sperm in my body. Mm-hmm. I did it all on my own.
Yeah.
You did it on
your
own.
I was going to say, I thought maybe someone from your family came over to help, but I was like, I'm drawing the line here.
We're going to shut that one down.
Yeah. There has to be some boundaries.
Yeah.
What did you use to inseminate yourself?
Soft
to use the technical
discs.
Term. Soft discs.
I've heard that works.
They're kind of like Diva cups, but they're flatter.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit right up against your cervix. So you like put the sperm in there and then you put it in
I haven't heard of anybody using that. No.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty common.
And from there, they just swim.
And then they can only go one way. Yeah.
Did you put your legs in the air just to help him go down that way?
I mean, yes, I did. I did whatever I could do. And then this time we also bought more buffer. We were like, okay, we're going to buy extra for next time because, you know, we hadn't gotten calls from the fertility clinics. We'd been referred to one and we referred ourselves to another and we hadn't heard from anybody. And we were like, okay, we're going to buy extra buffer. And then we just decided to do 3 days in a row of shipment and insemination just to try to cover the bases because it's like, what if I ovulate? My ovulation was like sometimes day 15, sometimes day 18. And I was like, I want to hit it all, make sure. I was so stressed. I remember my period wasn't coming and I was like, I'm not going to ovulate in the week. It's going to be on a weekend and then we're not going to get it. And we're going to, so stressful. But then I ended up ovulating on like a Wednesday or like the perfect.
Yeah, it was great. It was
the perfect day.
That's great.
March 18th or something.
Yeah.
But he has to send three different shipments. So he sent for you to do three separate days.
Different shipments. And he actually sent four vials of sperm. So the first 2 days he sent one and the last day he sent two. So we could do four inseminations.
So I don't think we used the fourth.
We did.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Okay. She's like, oh, I used
it. All in there. Put it all
just throw it in
that
there.
That was the one where you were about to help and then you got called.
Oh, yeah. I was on call.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's like putting on the gloves. Like, I'm coming.
But if you were able to like take some of the sperm and test it under the microscope, couldn't you split some of these specimens up into different inseminations?
We could have, but we figured like the earlier you use them, like they're going to survive better inside my body than they are in the fridge, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you had the option of actually just getting four fresh ones, why not?
Exactly. Right. So that's what we did. And I think that's when we used Purolator, which is like a shipping company in Canada.
Yeah.
Which hilariously, my mom used to work for, like, many, many, many decades ago.
So is she the one that called them and was like, there's sperm coming?
No, Sarah's sister called them and said, can we ship sperm? And this, and the lady on the phone, Tanya from Purolator, said, I don't think you should use our services. This sounds really important. And Rena, Sarah's sister, was like, well, you're kind of our only option. So
I love how she was all like,
I think she just felt like, you know, they can't guarantee like the delivery in 12 hours, like the overnight shipping, or like sometimes there's weather or whatever. And she was like, you know,
yeah,
I don't want Purolator to mess this up. But in the end, Purolator did a great job.
She took this very seriously with her job.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Tanya had a homophobic kind of reaction.
Everyone was like very, very like supportive and on board. Every person we talked to,
people that would have been,
there was Melanie at Palair was very, very
she was helpful. Lovely. She was super helpful.
I feel like this is like a Lifetime movie of a tiny village in the snow coming together for a Christmas baby. That's what this feels like.
This is such a Christmas movie.
Because you're basically having almost a Christmas baby.
Yeah, we totally are.
Everybody helps to bring the baby. Oh my God. And I just love that you didn't get any shade from anyone. That's great.
We've never gotten any shade.
Yeah, we've been pretty fortunate.
We have Sandra Bullock. Yeah, Kristen Stewart and Sandra Bullock. That is not a good pairing.
And Sandy, as I like to call her. Yeah.
Well, I guess we should actually use real gays. I mean, queers.
Kristen's a gay, and Sandy is my honorary, and you leave Sandy Bullock alone right now. Okay, Jamie, before we go any further, I have to say that if these ovaries could talk is supported by First Republic Bank, with a best-in-class banking app that allows you to bank anywhere, anytime, and a dedicated personal banker when you need one-on-one service. First Republic is uniquely positioned to offer the best of both worlds.
With this combination of personal attention and convenience, it's no wonder that First Republic Bank has a client satisfaction rating 2 times the industry average. So whether you're opening a personal line of credit or planning for your retirement, you can count on First Republic to be there for you every step of the way. Visit firstrepublic.com today to learn more. That's firstrepublic.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. I've always wanted to say that.
You'd got to say it. That's awesome. So 6th time was the charm.
Well, yeah, 4th shipment, 3rd try.
Amazing.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah,
Were really you guys shocked?
I was shocked. Yeah.
I would have been shocked.
I was shocked. I mean, I had a feeling that it was more of a possibility this time just because we'd seen them swimming under the microscope. Like, we knew that. Well, I actually didn't get an LH surge that cycle. So we were like, did I even ovulate? But my temperature had done the temperature rise thing. And so it looked like I'd ovulated on like the second day, which is ideal. And we knew that they were alive, which gave me some peace of mind.
Yeah, that was definitely reassuring.
And we had extra buffer for the first time. Like, we never bought extra buffer. And then we have the time that we bought extra buffer, it's still in Justin's freezer.
That's how it always works.
Like,
so that's how it works.
Can you keep it forever?
No, I think it expires after a year.
Oh, so I was going to say you could hold on to it for a sibling if there's one in the...
The end of our lifetime movie, you give the buffer to your next door neighbor with a wink, and then she goes off and gets pregnant. That's the end of our movie.
Yeah.
Was there a moment where were you guys thinking of amping it up? Like, were you like, I'm tired, this is too stressful? Mm-hmm. Or were you just like, were you getting to that point?
We weren't even going to do that cycle because...
Yeah, after the Christmas one, you had been... I can't do this. Like, we're just going to wait till we're back in the same, in a place like where we can, you know, either travel to Justin, he can travel to us. Like,
or like get for, like, I don't know why I thought a fertility clinic would be less stressful, but it's, I think
they're taking care of this stuff for you at a fertility clinic. It was all on your shoulders, and that's a hard, you know, they say try not to stress when you're trying to make a baby, and that's kind of stressful.
Yeah. I mean, we had actually reached out to clinics and been like, can we have Justin go donate sperm and then you freeze it and send it to us? Like, is there a way to do this that's like more legit? Turns out shipping fresh sperm actually is better than shipping frozen sperm. More of it survives.
In Canada, is there, if your brother does go bank sperm for you, is there that like quarantine period like there's in the US and all that stuff too?
Yeah, there used to be a 6 month quarantine, but now if you use a known donor, you can waive the quarantine.
I'm pretty sure
the laws have changed a little bit.
Yeah. And we were looking into this, the laws were like about to change.
Yeah.
And are you thinking about banking any for future kids? I mean, you haven't even had this first baby, and I'm already in your butt about the second.
Let's see what the first one does to my body first.
I mean, hopefully, COVID stuff will not continue. By the time we're having, if we decide
to have another kid. We also haven't talked to Justin about like whether or not he'd be down to donate again or whatever. So
So you got pregnant.
Yeah.
Very excited. Like, congratulations! It's so exciting.
Yeah.
Have you guys done anything in regards to the donor? Like, do you have a donor contract with Justin?
Yeah. So we.
What does that look like?
We got a known donor agreement.
We just went to a lawyer, and she drew it up.
Who we knew because we live in a very small town, and so we like went in and we were like, oh hey, we know you, and then she did it for us for free, which was really, really kind.
Yeah,
that was
Yeah.
And were you able to kind of tailor it to how you want
and
your family?
Yeah, exactly. How we did it, because normally you get a known donor agreement, I guess, before you start. And we waited until like August. So
you were already pregnant.
I was already halfway through, and we're not worried. Like, we have no fears that Justin's gonna like try to take her kid or something, but it also protects him too. So we got that drawn up.
Do you have to do you have to do second parent adoption then, Sarah?
No, I mean, hopefully not. So in New Brunswick, there are no laws about, like, there are, the parental laws are just very vague. Like, there's not really a law that exists.
There's literally nothing.
Like,
written
literally
about it.
Nothing. Like. So essentially, it's kind of open to whoever registers our baby, like
at the hospital,
if they'll put both of our names on the birth certificate. If so, then legally that's good enough. Like, we don't need to adopt.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
But you know what we're going to say to you two, right?
Not
good enough.
I think it's, well, I think it's just different in Canada.
I was
concerned because you're right. I've heard of a lot of.
Because like, if you travel. It's like, just look into it. The mother in me is just saying, just look into it.
Yeah, I mean, we did talk to our lawyer about it, and she said that as long as we're both on the birth certificate, that's very, like,
because you have proof of parentage as well as proof of birth in Canada.
Yeah.
That's good to know. I mean, that's great. It should be that way everywhere, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
The annoying thing was when we were in Newfoundland, there was like some sort of weird rule that if Sarah was a man, she wouldn't have to do a second parent adoption if we used a sperm donor, because she could have been the father, but because she was a woman, she would have to.
Yeah. But do the not adoption. Because, I mean, not, I mean, obviously it is a homophobic law.
Yeah.
At baseline, mm-hmm. but it's just a law that is outdated and hasn't been updated because there isn't a big enough group of people lobbying for it to be changed. Because in other provinces in Canada, that law has been changed. Mm-hmm. And now it's more like intended parents as opposed to, like the genetic parents for everybody, not just.
And it's just so different province to province. Like,
yeah,
nobody can agree on anything.
But yeah, so we may still do the second parent adoption, but I should be I should be on the baby's birth certificate without any issues.
Yeah. And I looked up New Brunswick birth certificates and it says mother and then father/parent. So
well, that's
hopefully,
good too.
Hopefully okay. that's yeah.
What is Justin going to be called? Have you thought about that?
Uncle Jay.
Yeah. Uncle Jay.
Uncle Jay. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, I love this. Well, you'll have to come back or maybe come on the live stream. After you have the baby and you have to, we'll do a Where Are They Now?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And it'll just be like a baby crying and you two going, I don't have time for this right now. Yeah. And then Jamie and I being like, we thought this was a good idea. No. Maybe it's not.
We wish you all the best. And, you know, we hope the delivery goes smooth and you have a beautiful, healthy baby when you're done. And we are so happy for you. And thank you so much for reaching out and telling us this story, because everybody's going to want to know. I mean, people need to know that it can work. It can work.
It works. You just have to have the right
donor.
It's
a miracle.
Love it. Well, thank you so much.
You need a quadruplet brother donor.
And a very large family to drop the sperm off and pick it up. It
takes a village.
Not only to raise a child, but also to make one in our case. Yeah.
That's, by the way, that's the name of our holiday special. It takes a village.
It's perfect. I think we need to start.
It's happening.
I don't know why all of a sudden we're writing something new.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, those two, they were not giving up, Jamie.
Nope. And neither were their families. And I love it. Oh, I love it.
And we've got a clip from the brother who's the donor. Let's take a listen, shall we?
Hi. We started our sort of process of shipping donations, and I was starting to put my problem solver hat on to be like, oh, okay, so like a lot of these conditions are out of our control. What things can we monitor or track in terms of the shipping process to help improve our chances of this working? And one thing I realized was like, we could track the temperature inside of the cooler that we were shipping it in. One thing I did have were these digital temperature sensors that I put inside of the cooler, and then track the temperature at certain intervals, I think I was doing it every 30 minutes, so that I could sort of, with like fairly reasonable accuracy, tell what was the situation inside the cooler when the cooler was stationary inside my apartment. And basically the next question was like, what is the ideal temperature range for our dear sperm donation and the test yolk buffer in this cooler? Like, the literature that came with the test yolk buffer was just kind of like, place like vial with ice pack in cooler and ship overnight. Like, it wasn't very specific. But I was able to find online like a spec sheet from a manufacturer of test yolk buffer, much more specific, which was very helpful. They were like, it should be kept between 2 degrees and 8 degrees Celsius. So I was like, okay, that gives us something to work with. Right away, I knew like I didn't want the vial right on the ice pack because it is frozen. The vial is just thin glass. And I'd done experiments with water that froze right away. Like sperm is more salty and probably freezes a little bit at a lower temperature. But anyways, so I made a kind of like a donut out of a sponge. So picture like a large sponge that I kind of cut holes in around, but kept little ties in the middle so the middle wouldn't fall out. Anyways, if you're following, the sponge remained about the thickness of the inside of the cooler, so about 3 inches. And inside the donut, I cut a little sliver where I placed the vial or the temperature sensor. And that kind of kept it afloat off of the ice pack, but with airflow passing on either side of the holes of the donut so that still some nice cool air would help keep it kind of cold. And then I placed between my sponge donut and the ice pack some little scrounging pads so that it kind of, yeah, it blocked some of that direct, intense, cold temperature from going right to the vial. I'd been doing my experiment inside. However, we couldn't necessarily count on the cooler box always being inside. The only thing I did to try to help with the fact that the outside temperature was going to be possibly colder than what we wanted was just place a lot of insulation, like paper and those microfiber cloths. I like shoved as many as I could on top and then taped that closed. And yeah, so I guess, yeah, it was that shipment after all those experiments where eventually the insemination worked. And so that's a very exciting phone call. Anyways, so yeah, hopefully this information can help anyone else who's doing this DIY. All right, that's all for me. Thank you.
Oh, that was so good. So good. What a family, yeah, right?
I know. Just the best.
But listen, our next live stream is this Thursday, December 9th at 4 p.m. Eastern. And this, we've got a special treat for you. You do not want to miss this episode.
Oh my God, you guys.
We have a doctor from California Cryobank who's joining us. You want to be there at 4 p.m. Eastern, like on our YouTube page or our Facebook page, because bring all your questions. When do you get to talk to a doctor from the sperm bank?
And let's be honest, Robin and I don't always ask all the questions.
Never. We can't. We can't
so
get
you need to come and prepare some questions for this doctor, because we want to know everything about this bank. Do we
not? Yes, everything.
I want to know everything about the bank.
And keep in mind, if you can't make it, you can catch it on our YouTube page after. So it's all the info is going to be there for you. Okay, Jamie, let's keep this conversation going.
Okay, join us on the social and you can send us questions that you'd like us to ask.
Yes, it's a great idea.
Yeah. We are Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and the TikTok. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, you're going to find all of our past live streams there. It's like, it's a library. You can also support our podcast and join our community on patreon.com/ovariestalk. And that's where you're going to get that bonus content. And it's good stuff.
That's right. And thank you, thank you, thank you to our sponsors, Tushy, First Republic Bank, and Storyworth. And a huge thank you to all of our patrons who are already helping us make the show. We thank you for the holidays. We thank you all year round.
Just thank you, thank you, thank you. Just thank you all. Thank you. Helen, just say thanks. It's not that hard.
I know. All right. Eggs. Helen.
Ovaries. Helen's not real.
She's so real.
Out. She's not real. Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out.
Pride Daily.
Hi there, I'm Kev McGraw, and this is Pride Daily. A homophobic TikToker's crying his little heart out over AI videos portraying him as gay. Next, as video games firm Electronic Arts is sold to a Saudi-led consortium, is their LGBTQ+ content at risk? And Sylvester Stallone's wife says the children of Hollywood stars turn out transgender because their lives lack structure. Sylvester's clearly the brains of the outfit. Pride Daily is the world's only daily LGBTQ+ news podcast, bringing you the top three global stories in just 2 minutes. Everyone's welcome. Search Pride Daily in your pod app.
Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's Mood.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's Mood.com to get started.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER
click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.